The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to Folk. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
Welcome back to another episode of the Red Sox just doing what the Red Sox have been doing post-game. They get wrecked 10-4, lose the series against the Braves. I was at a loss for words in the third inning, and then it just kept going in that direction, just for the wrong reasons. So, Terry, why don't you take us away with what you thought just went well. I think there's only one moment, and I think the rest of it is my signature phrase, Bambi on ice. It was just terrible. It just went from bad to worse.
Yeah, so how many pitchers are we really supremely confident, starting pitchers, that are going to go out there and they're going to shove or at least give you a solid chance to win? Right now, I mean, you'd probably put Crochet in that category. Probably would put Buehler in that category, even though he's bouncing back from an injury. I don't know who else you can do it. And Houck is injured and apparently had a setback over the weekend, but he's a guy we were screaming to put into the bullpen. Brian Baio doesn't look like he can hang in the rotation. You can't. The point I'm getting at here is you can't put everybody in the bullpen. you need viable bodies in that starting rotation that give you a chance to win. And the road that all of this failure traces back to is the pitching coach. Now, we've been frustrated with Peter Fatsy at times. Lately it's Andrew Bailey. I don't think Andrew Bailey is an upgrade over Dave Bush. And I'll take it another step further. I think Brian Baio was actually better with Dave Bush as the pitching coach. And Dave Bush wasn't even that good. So they need to make a move here. And if Breslow wants to send a message to the team, I think replacing Andrew Bailey is a good step towards that. And because it could change the mindset a little bit. And B, it'll show you that Breslow will put his foot down and make a bold move if a bold move is necessary. And I think it should happen. I think that's the move to make right now.
Before I get to that, when is Richard Fitz going to be back? Do we know?
I think rehab start this week. It's close, but not within the next turn of the rotation.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I would put Fitz in that category with Crochet and Buehler, assuming he's coming back Tuesday and is going to stay healthy.
Right.
Look, here's how I'll answer your question with a question, Terry. How's it working out for Baltimore?
Oh, here we go.
I don't think the firing the coach is necessarily just going to automatically fix it. It may fix it for a day. My cousin and I joke the best day to bet on a team is the day after they fire their coach, but it's not going to fix the accountability from the locker room. That's on Alex Cora and that's on the players. And, you know, I look to a guy like Bregman and I'd like to hear what he has to say this afternoon after this game, assuming he gets an opportunity to speak. It's extremely frustrating with regards to today. And I was texting in the group chat. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I texted after Devers hit the grand slam. I don't think Baio can hold the lead. And then as it unfolded, he didn't get anybody up until the bases were loaded. Yeah. And Newcomb's over there getting the ball and Nesson puts the camera on him and he's banging the rosin bag on his hand. I'm like, bro, you need to be speed warming up. Like, let's go. Like, they're going to need you after potentially the next batter. They did. He wasn't ready. And it just went from bad to worse. So Bayo was allowed to essentially continue to fail when it seemed plain to me that he needed to be out of that game probably after the second batter in the fifth inning. So, you know, just with regards to today, that should have been a bullpen game earlier than it was. And I'm not saying it was going to change the result, but it seems so obvious to me that Bayo didn't have it. I'm not a huge fan of just firing a coach, especially after like one bad outing. Obviously, it's a pattern in practice here, and there's certainly failures, not only just in the starting rotation, in the bullpen as well. But I don't know, and I don't know that any of us do know who's going to replace him, which is an important question. You can't just fire a coach and then just assume the next guy can do it. I'd want, you'd have to have input from within the organization, input that we aren't going to get. So I'm not saying it's not an option, and obviously it might be something that's discussed, but you know, where does that leave us with who's coming up next? You know, I'd like to see them get out of Boston, get Bueller back, get Fitz back, and see where we are in probably 10 to 20 days.
So there's a couple things that I want to unpack, and one of the things that got mentioned was the fact that you know, the different teams are making, you know, moves and breaking news. You know, Brandon Hyde gets fired from the Orioles. Today, the Philadelphia Phillies lose one of their closers for 80 games for PEDs, which is just ridiculous. Jose Alvarado was a well-respected reliever and just blew it. His reputation is done. It doesn't translate to success if you fire a coach. So I'm with Jeremy on this one, Terry, and that's all it needed. Now, if the Orioles come out and they win 10 straight with a new manager, that argument doesn't carry as much water, but the Orioles just proceed to get blown out with another manager. They're to Jeremy's point, there's got to be some kind of like structure or way for them to get the next person in there if they're going to let somebody go. I don't remember how good Dave Bush was with Bayo, to be completely honest, but he doesn't have it right now. Now, there's a couple other things too, right? The Boston Red Sox just faced the Atlanta Braves, obviously. The Braves now are 24-23. The Red Sox are 23-25. The Braves were a joke to start the year. They started the season off 0-7. They were one of the worst teams in baseball. They were worse than Colorado, believe it or not. They couldn't get anything done. Since then, they're playing 600 baseball. They're 24-16. Way better than the Boston Red Sox. Now, the Red Sox just faced Detroit and just got their doors blown off. And they faced Atlanta, who's now starting to become a hot team. So it's the perfect storm after you started the season off really well. Now you're starting to falter. Injuries aren't helping the situation. Starting pitchers that we're expecting to depend on for 5-6 innings aren't getting the job done. So this becomes a team that needs to bang. If you're not getting 6 or 7 runs a game of support, your starters aren't going to be able to last the game. This is not the most prolific offense in the American League. You just faced the best team in the American League. And the Minnesota Twins have won, before today's game, had won 13 games in a row, and they're still like 3 or 4 games out in the Central, which is absolutely insane. The Red Sox are in shambles right now. Firing a coach isn't going to make a difference. That's not the problem. The problem is that your starters aren't getting the job done. You're walking the ballpark, as Jason would like to say, allowing, 7 earned, 5 walks, 3 strikeouts. You can't even go 5 innings as a starter. That's a problem. So that mixed in with your only big hit in this game knocked in 4. And I knew, even with that grand slam, that's not enough. It's not enough because we can't depend on Bayo. Even before the start, raise your hand if you thought Bayo was going to be someone you could depend on for the season.
Well, he wasn't even available to start the season.
I did. I mean, I thought he would be consistently competitive.
And it hasn't happened. He's been consistently inconsistent, Terry. And I'm starting to get this awful feeling that I think this is Brian Bayo. I don't know if there's another level up, which is really unfortunate. This was someone that we were hoping was going to become that eventual 1 or 2. Well, now you got Crochet. You have Walker Buehler. I don't know what happened to Tanner Houck. That's just, I got no words for that one. Lucas Giolito, I'm hoping that that was just a blip against the Braves because I really do think he can do it. I'm hoping that Bayo can be your four or five. But if you're walking five guys, you can't go five innings. You're allowing 10 hits, seven runs. Like, it was the fourth inning or third inning and he already allowed eight hits. You're depending on incredible defense to get out of innings. He had the bases loaded twice with no outs. One of those innings unscathed because Alex Bregman is like baseball Jesus at third base. We don't get out of that inning if Bregman doesn't make that 5-4-3 double play. That's it. The game was not over when it was 3-0. We were still in it. Grand Slam put us right back in it, and it lasted half an inning. So this team is not going to be competitive if we can't put a 6 or 7 spot on the board. When we scored, what was it? 8 was it 18 runs against St. Louis in that game?
Something like
18
that.
Runs. Right. It was insane. Just everybody just went off. I'm like, crap. It's great that it happened, but we peaked at the wrong time. Like, you're peaking 6 minutes into the season. We're fighting to try to stay relevant right now because I don't know how you pick the Red Sox to win a series right now. You're facing the Mets next. You start with them tomorrow. Do you think that this is a team that can take 2 out of 3 against New York? I don't. And then after that, you have Baltimore. Baltimore has been flat rubbish. But, you know, I don't know. And I don't remember which people picked Baltimore to win the division this year. But they brought it up today on the show. You lost Anthony Santander, who hasn't, you know, he hasn't done what he did last year in Toronto. And you lost Corbin Burns. Like, you lost one of the best pitchers in the game and a guy who could hit 40 home runs. And you replaced it with Tyler O'Neill, whose only claim to fame this year is that he set a record for the most opening day home runs to start a season. I think it was like 5 or 6 in a row. And you didn't replace Corbin Burns. Like, of course your team is going to be kind of in shambles a little bit. Now, I kind of expected certain players to elevate their game a little bit more. I'm pretty surprised. I don't think anybody here would, you know, say that they're, you know, expecting the Baltimore Orioles to be 15 games under 500, whatever they are. I think they're like 13 and 28 or something insane. I don't know, man. I don't know what the Red Sox can do right now. Firing a manager is not going to do it. Prayer isn't going to do it. We need to stop making boneheaded decisions. Like the one where I just sat there and I looked up and I was like, this is the Boston Red Sox. David Hamilton steals second base, right? David Hamilton steals second base, ball goes into center field. It's like 10 feet away from the fielder. You think you're going to get to third base before that throw gets in there? That was just a misread. That was so stupid. That was so dumb. Like,
it's a misread. You can't be too critical of the desire to put pressure on the defense. It was just a misread. The ball wasn't a big hop like he expected it to, and he probably should have looked twice, and it would have altered the outcome.
Jeremy, you're not in a place where you can take that chance, though. You're the bot. You are not 15 games over 500.
They're pressing.
You can't afford to press right now.
I'm not saying it's the right play. I'm just saying he pressed. He didn't. He shouldn't have went. It was. It looked on the first ricochet that he was gonna have enough time. He just assumed it was a bigger hop than it was. He turned and went. He never looked again. If he kept his eyes for another Mississippi, he would have stuck his foot in the ground and got back to second base. He didn't do that.
But that's two straight days of just dumb base running. I'm not arguing with you. Oh, I know.
But that's what this team is built on. It's built on the athleticism and the base running and the putting pressure on the defense. And like, it's just a microcosm of how nothing's going right. You know, my biggest thing and my optimism going into today was that comeback yesterday, highlighted by the home run by Devers in the bottom of the ninth. You thought that it was a momentum builder. You know, it's like we've been talking on this podcast for those that listen daily, like,
right.
The thing that's going to happen, is it a brawl? Is it a no-hitter? Is it a walk-off home run after a big late comeback? And I think this goes to show you this is who they are. They have enough talent. You know, I mean, it could be, you know, Cora's losing the clubhouse as far as his his understanding of what makes guys go. I don't understand. And the other thing is Durant's starting to hit.
Yes, he
is. And normally that's when we go. I've said it all year. I said it in the pregame preseason preview.
Yeah.
Like Durant, we go as Durant goes. Well, he's starting to go. And it's just like, you know, you get the start today from Bayo. You get no momentum from yesterday. Devers is completely locked in. Even in the ninth tonight, he hits a ball to down the left field line for a double. I mean, it doesn't even matter. The guy's just completely locked in. It was just and Terry, I'll turn it over to you because you called this pregame. I think your text was something like, is this the worst 5-6 hole combination in the entire Major League Baseball? And it's like, you guys have like, it's unbelievably bad in the middle of the lineup, but Terry, I'll turn it over to you. I mean, the lineup is built terribly right now.
Terry, real quick. They did mention this yesterday on the air. I don't remember what inning it was. They said the cleanup position this season for the Boston Red Sox, 178 batting average, 30th, 225 on base, last place, 30th, 540 OPS, 30th out of 30, and then 58 strikeouts, the most out of your four guy.
It's pretty bad. Yeah, you can't have Trevor Story and Abraham Toro as your 5-6 guys. That's trash. Right. That is absolutely trash. Two guys that really have no business being in the major leagues anymore. I know Trevor Story's making $22 million, but he's not even playing to the level of a fraction of that, okay? And he's never going to get back there. You have to rip the Band-Aid off. I know it's painful, right, but we can't let the mistakes of Heim Bloom mess up our future. Years after he's gone at this point, I wouldn't do it. And then you got Connor Wong further down in the order today instead of Narvaez. I guess that's just standard for, you know, a day game following a night game. That's just how we do it, is what it is. Real quick on Andrew Bailey, though. Our rotation right now has a 4.45 ERA. Everybody's regressed. Tanner Houck has regressed. Brian Bayo has regressed. Say what you want about Giolito. He's been trashed for a while, but, you know, is what it is. It's an organizational mindset as far as pitching goes, and that falls on Bailey. And I don't think I've seen nothing that suggests he's going to come up with the solutions to get this team on the right track. I don't. And so, I mean, it's a move you can make. When the Red Sox fired, I forget who it was, Juan Nieves, and then they went and got the guy. I should have looked it up before I gave the take. We had him. Rick Porcello won the Cy Young with him. Carl something. His first name was Carl. I'm halfway there. And and then he goes to the Guardians. Corey Kluber wins a Cy Young under him, and perhaps one other pitcher I forget. Trevor Bauer took a massive step forward. Carl Willis, yes.
Yeah, I looked it up.
So I don't know who you get. Another guy that's, I think, a free agent right now that would be intriguing to me is, now I'm forgetting his name. He was the Astros pitching coach in the first half of the dynasty, and then he went to the Diamondbacks, fixed their program. Oh, man. If I knew I was going to give this take, I would have looked it all up.
You think they should go outside the organization and not promote within if they do fire him in season?
We've got a GM that was a pitcher. So I'm just going to trust that he's going to identify a viable candidate. I do have trust issues. I have trust issues, but go ahead.
You're talking about Brent Strom.
Brent Strom. Yes. Yeah, I would go get him. I would go get him. The guy's like 80 years old, but you know what? Maybe you got to go old school sometimes. And it worked for the Astros. It worked for the Diamondbacks. I would do something. I would shake things up. And eventually the roster will get shaken up when Meyer and Anthony come up. But that's just a move I would make. And we can agree to disagree, but I think there's going to be a lot of momentum towards that if this rotation continues to stumble.
So to go to the other side of your comment there, I'm all for shaking up this roster. And they have the pieces within. I mean, I don't want to beat a dead horse here, but they can make tomorrow, we can have a vastly different roster.
Yeah.
Roman Anthony, absolutely. Mayer, like you want to shake it up. And I've said it, like I've been on the podcast a lot in the last 5 days, but so if you've listened, you've heard this, but Trevor Story, give him a grade one hamstring pull and get the youth into the system and see what happens. If it doesn't hit, if Roman Anthony struggles, if Mayer struggles, whatever, you can pull back. You can send back to AAA. Last year, the Orioles did it with Holiday. He came up, he got his opener. And I remember this because it was against the Red Sox. He was terrible for about a week and a half, 2 weeks. They sent it back down. They brought him up. He improved and he hasn't lit the world on fire, but he's a big league player. Like there's options there. If you want to change it up, you're sending a message, assuming they're not going to DFA him. And that's been my position for a while. If you're not going to DFA Story, send a message that it's not good enough. Like Wong, they showed Wong's numbers in his last at bat today. He has been absolutely terrible, and it has made his defensive issues even larger to the fan base because Narvaez has been on the opposite side of it so much better. It's just there's things we can do. There's things we can do. We don't need to be firing the pitching coach to send a message to the people that actually play the games.
Hot take.
Here we go.
You're totally destroying Connor Wong's value. And I think you can rehab some of it, but it's not going to be as a catcher. Put him at first. You don't have a solution at first base. Get rid of Toro. Put Connor Wong at first. See if he's viable. Maybe the bat heats up, and maybe he's the second or third piece in a package.
I don't disagree with that.
Yeah. Connor Wong behind the plate is just, that ain't it. He isn't him, you know, it's,
well, he could still play there once or twice a week and play some first base. And then that way you can keep a little bit more roster flexibility.
I don't want to see Connor Wong throw down second base anymore. I'm done with the circus act of him throwing to second base. I mean, that ball tails up and away. I don't know how he's letting go of that ball, but someone's got to teach him how to rethrow it because that ball is going into center field 100% of the time. If David Hamilton isn't circus Olaying his way, Cirque du Soleil-ing, you know, getting that ball out of the air. It's just
not to pile on Bailey here. Okay.
Here but
he sucks.
The pitching staff just does not do a good job holding runners.
They don't.
And part of the problem is the pop time and the throw accuracy by the catcher. Sure. But you got to give the catcher a chance. And some of these jumps they're getting, there's just no chance. It's over before the pitch gets to the catcher. He's going to still throw down. Sometimes that's a bad decision. Sometimes you got to shove that in the back pocket and just not throw it and take the risk. But I mean, it's not just a catcher problem. It's on the pitching staff to vary their looks, throw over. I know you only have two disengagements, but you can, if you're in a rhythm of going on a second Mississippi, a decent base runner is going to time that and get a good jump. You've got to go to Mississippi. You got a quick pitch. You got to hold it a little bit long. You got to look twice. Like they just don't do those basic things.
Fundamentals are a massive problem here. Baseball IQ is dropping.
Yeah. It's awful. I mean, the base running blunders, I mean, that stuff you figure out in like single A and double A and stuff. You can't be making those mistakes in the big leagues. You just can't. You definitely can't do it multiple times in the same game. And then when you do it back-to-back games, now other teams know you're going to do it. They know they might fall into a double play, or you'll ground yourself into something that you had runners on. You have ducks on the pond and you're taking out your own ducks. It's so stupid. It's just, it's hard to be positive right now because there's just been so much just dumb play.
You want me to spin it positively, Charlie?
Sure. Hit me.
We're only two games out of 500.
There you go.
In 2 weeks, you play, let's say 13 games and you go 8-5 and then you do it again in the fall. You're in it. Like they're not out of it. So, but there's too many consistent mistakes. And we talked about this two podcasts ago. It's something different every night. It's Bayo can't throw strikes, and when he does, he doesn't miss any at-bats. Then the base running blunders, the you know, Toro almost got picked off on a routine fly to right in the ninth. And look, I know the game's over, but like, you know, he doesn't slide in. If he slides, I don't think it's a close play. As it were, he was safe, but it was pretty close to bang bang. And I'm just sitting there going, we can't even get back to first base on a routine fly ball to right. If he gets thrown out there, it doesn't get talked about because the game gets over. But it's like, what are we doing here?
Let me ask you a question. Since you just talked about 13 more games, right? We're two games, you know, out of, you know, being 500, right? You got three games against New York. Do you think
We're going to get smoked.
Thank you. Okay, here we go. You're going to get smoked. So you're probably going to get swept. You're going to lose two out of three. Then you face Baltimore. You should take three of four. Do you think we actually do that, or do you think we split?
I'd want to know how the Mets series goes, but.
All right, great. We got swept by New York. What would you say against Baltimore?
It's only going to continue to get worse.
Thank you. Okay. So we're two games out of 500 to just bring this one to fruition, right? We're about to get spanked by the Mets. Then you got Baltimore. Milwaukee, not really that much of a threat. And then you close it out with Atlanta again, who's heating up and we're cooling off. So we're probably losing five of six of those games between the Mets and the Braves. And then you got seven games in between against Baltimore and Milwaukee. I'll say we go 3-4 or 4-3 in that setup. You still go 5-8 at best, and you're five games under 500 now. Boys, buckle up is the right expression.
All right, spinning it optimistically again. You get Garrett Crochet on Wednesday in the Mets series, I believe, right? So win one of the other games. Win one Crochet of the other games. Flip the script.
Right.
Have Bueller come back and give you five strong. You know, I don't think it's going to happen, but it's there. I mean, Crochet is going to give you a chance to win. They'll blow it. He'll leave the game 2-1 in the seventh, and they'll lose.
You're
the game
spinning it positively. You're saying they'll blow it.
I'm broken, you know? Dude. I'm broken.
Yeah, I know. I'm broken too. This hurts. This really hurts. Like, Crochet will not win the game if he goes seven innings and allows one run. If he allows one run, If he allows, if he goes out there and gives you seven innings, strikes out. I mean, honestly, Crochet, seven innings, 10 or 11 strikeouts, allows one or two earned runs, probably doesn't win the game. That's going to be like the season. This is us for 2025. Baltimore, we don't get Crochet in that series. We do have Bueller in that one at the end.
Bueller starts Tuesday. Yeah.
He comes back for the Mets series, but he's also going to be pitching in the Baltimore series as well because of where he is in the rotation. We need to start winning all of Bueller's games, and we need to start winning all of Crochet's games. You cannot afford to lose a Crochet game ever. Like this year, you can't do it. You can't do it.
You've got Kodai Senga, Hunter Dobbins tomorrow. Senga has an ERA of 1.02. He's throwing the ball really well. Tuesday, Clay Holmes throwing the ball pretty well also. He's up against Bueller. They've got TBD against Crochet. I'm not going to worry about it because we should win the Crochet day, theoretically. Then we have Baltimore next. You should win at least three out of four. And I didn't get to weigh in earlier on Brandon Hyde. Wildly unpopular firing across Major League Baseball. I don't think I've seen one that unpopular in recent memory.
Right.
Just about every other scenario, you're like, yep, that was appropriate. This one, I don't think it was. And when you look at that rotation that they have, Zach Eflin, he's actually pretty solid. Dean Kramer, Tomoyuki Sugano, Cade Povich. That's their 1-4 right now. 41-year-old Charlie Morton is in the bullpen with an ERA near 8. That was their big offseason pickup. Then they got Grayson Rodriguez on the 60-day, Kyle Bradish on the 60-day, as well as Tyler Wells. There was nothing. No manager, Joe Torre, I don't know, whatever manager in MLB history you want to insert into that dugout. Nobody's saving that club right now. And they're 25th in batting average. Okay. Maybe you can put that a little bit on Hyde because there's obviously the talent is way better than what the metrics say. But man, he's going to get hired. He expedited that rebuild so fast. They were competitive like on their fourth year and they won 100 games. and they didn't win a postseason game, so that probably factored into the firing a little bit. They were 0 for whatever it was, 6 or 7. But so, you know,
so Terry, you're saying Cora out, hide in? Is that what you're saying?
Sign me up. Sign me up. Yeah. I don't know which way that's going to go. And I asked Rob Bradford from WEI yesterday just to be positive on whether the manager's contract was definitely a guaranteed contract. It is, as we thought. But yeah, so I don't think things would have to be really toxic in the front office, like worse than we can imagine. And there is a possibility for that. But at face value, I'm going to say Cora is safe through next year. Jeremy, as you pointed out on a recent episode. But man, we need to start winning. Like, this floor can drop out and we can be in big trouble. Excuse me. If we don't make some adjustments here. But it's,
well,
bad.
If Duran and Devers keep hitting, Bregman's been solid all year. You know, we need one more bat to get to kind of get hot, and you can turn a game that you maybe we're not expecting to win. And that's what we need. It's got to start small. Obviously, yesterday's result into today's result shows that the big moment, the big, you know, like I've been saying, brawl, comeback, whatever, it's not going to do it. It's not going to do it. It has to come from consistent production from the lineup in the starting rotation. And so multiple people, unfortunately, need to step up. And unfortunately, the people we think can do it aren't on the big league club right now. And that's, I think, what drives frustration with where we are all today as a fan base. And I know we're not commenting, and I can't comment, but everyone that's commenting from YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, we see it. Everyone's extremely frustrated, the entire fan base. And I think that's why. It's like, we have people we really feel strongly can help, yet Mayer and Roman Anthony are in Worcester's lineup today and not in Boston's.
That's stupid.
It's so it just builds on the frustration of the big league result on a night in, night out basis. It's so frustrating.
No.
Jules in the chat, I'm not going to attempt his last name, but he says hire Girardi, and he's the second person who's come at me with that. Joe Girardi is a smart baseball guy, high baseball IQ, cannot connect with young players. And right. You know, Dave Dombrowski, like, that Phillies team took off after Girardi was fired. That was the turning point when Rob Thomson took over. And Joe Girardi just doesn't have the mindset for younger players anymore. Neither did Joe Madden. That's why Madden hasn't been hired since losing the Angels job. It's just the time has passed them by. And I do respect old school type mentalities. Like, Buck Showalter's a guy I would kind of be interested in too. I think he can connect a little bit, but he's the small ball old school manager.
I think
you're going to go old school. He's my guy. Yeah.
I think that they nerfed it. I mean, Tony La Russa really messed it up for the old timers. They're not going to be giving some of the older ones a chance anymore. I'll be shocked if Madden's back in baseball as a manager.
I don't think so. No,
I don't. You think he's going to manage again?
No.
Remember the analytics, the nerds that run the Boston Red Sox are not going to hire a non-nerd. They're not going to sign off on it. And they're tied directly to the analytics. So, I mean, it's going to be potentially someone that went to Harvard, Yale, whatever university I could never dream to get into, that maybe never, you know, played baseball above high school. I mean, that's right. The way the game's going. It's a little bit scary. And to Jules Mathern, I will guess Jules, and that Mathern A maybe, but Jules, one, appreciate the comment. Appreciate you listening. That it means a lot. If you do go hire a Girardi, it's an expectation that he's only there for 2 years. Because he will come in, he will change the culture for sure, but then he's going to alienate and be out. So if you think you have a team that can win, he might be the right guy for a very, very, very small window. Other than that, you know, the other thing that I don't want to hear, and I know this is probably going to be unpopular, I do not want to hear Veritek. It's got to be somebody outside the organization after a thorough search. You know, and there are people that aren't aware of that are rising up the ranks, and, you know, they got to go find somebody that fits the culture and unfortunately is going to buy in to what ownership is doing with the nerds, which is you know, tying everything to analytics. There's got to be somebody, it's going to be somebody like that. To think it's going to be anything else is absurd based on what we know from ownership down.
Yeah.
I think analytics is just overblown. It does have its purpose, but I don't think that should be the nucleus of a mindset. I mean, if analytics was so good, why haven't the Reds made the playoffs, you know, with their low budget team? Like, all the low budget teams are typically bad, and they're not, analytics isn't saving them. You know, I like it in certain aspects, but I don't think you should go full bore analytics.
Agreed.
Same. And that's what's happening with some of these teams. It's really just whatever, just garbage.
Charlie's beating
down. It's just, you know, you go in, you're like, you have this one moment of just amazing, just brilliance. Devers, game winning home run yesterday. Let's go. Hold my beer. Let's ride with the momentum. Please, let's go. Stop trying to be perfect with your pitches. Pitch to contact. Dude, Greg Maddux was never a blow you away pitcher. He would pitch to contact and be very smart about the way he pitched. He didn't strike out one an inning for the majority of his career. He would pitch to contact. He would go the distance on a consistent basis when he was with the Braves. No one ever looked at Maddux as a guy that was going to strike out 10 and go 9 innings. He would, however, get the job done with 4, 5, 6 strikeouts, whatever, who cares? Some days he might only have 3. But he goes 7+ and allows 1 run on 4 hits, maybe walks 1 or 2 guys. He was just so smart about the way he pitched. We're not being smart with the way we pitch. And these amazing grand slams, like, if you had to, there's got to be a statistic for this. What is the percentage of teams that win when they get a grand slam? What is that percentage? And what's the Boston Red Sox percentage of winning when they get a grand slam? I bet you we're in the bottom 10 of baseball.
Well, our last one before today was in August of 2023. So
yeah, adorable.
And we almost went almost two. So,
which is impressive when you're a team that sits around and waits for the big home run.
Right. Getting the bases loaded, though, is a challenge.
I mean, arguably, isn't like a grand slam home run theoretically not as hard as the others, because they have to pitch to you or they're walking in the run. So the fact that we haven't been hitting them, it's just,
they threw it right down the middle. It was a cookie. It was middle to Devers. I mean, you're not missing that pitch. Right. It was the same thing. I mean, if you look at Durant's home run, I mean, unless it's a cookie right down the middle, like right in there, I don't know what's happening. Like, Jaren Durant hit a cookie. Perfect. Dead shot to center field. Devers, same thing, right down the middle. I'd be curious to see what the distance was between those two pitches. But same thing. They weren't hangers. It was just bullets. You know? So we just need to be better. Anything else you guys want to add? This has been a fun one for all the bastards. Have a great one. Take care.